from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome, everybody, to the GoodAtheist.net bonus podcast. As you may notice, you might be wondering to yourself, why am I listening to two podcasts this week rather than just one? And the reason is because I decided today that I was going to release this bonus podcast for everybody else as a reminder of why it is awesome to listen to this show twice a week. Consider it my way of enticing you to become members because I'm a broke ass. Today, I have a very special guest. His name is Brock Roberts. He's a native Calgarian. He's been listening to the show for how long now exactly?
Since episode 20-ish, something like that.
Probably way too long. He's probably heard everything I've said 10,000 times, but I thought it'd be good to have him over. Say hi to everybody.
Hello, how are you?
All right, now before we start, I'd like to hear a little bit more about you so that kind of fans can get an idea of who the hell you are. So my first question is, what got you interested in atheism? Why are you a fan of TGA?
Well, I've always been an atheist. I grew up in a small central Alberta village, right between two churches. And
you were born right between two churches? That's amazing.
Yeah, United and Anglican. Every Sunday, I'd sit at my breakfast table and just watch kids I know from school just file through these doors and wearing uncomfortable clothes. And I wondered why they were being forced to attend this odd ritual, and I could go about my business playing with Lego and watching cartoons and stuff like that. So I approached my mother. And, you know, she's a teacher, and she has a master's degree, and very scientifically...
Literate?
Yeah, exactly. So she basically... I was never raised in a religious household, so I've never had that coming out or anything like that. So it's just been smooth sailing.
But how is it... Here's the thing. I mean, you live in probably one of the most religious provinces in this country. You must have had some kind of pressure to believe in shit like that. I have to think that there were people trying to convert you all the time. No? Or did people leave you alone?
Yeah. Surprisingly, it was my Mormon friends that tried the hardest to convert me. And they would even, you know, tell stories of, oh, hellfire. And you know where they didn't say infidels because they were kids. But you know what I'm getting at.
Yeah, the non-believers. Non-believers are getting burned in hell, bitch. So yeah. They give you that speech, the nice little, oh, you're going to burn?
Quite a bit.
And these were your friends?
Yeah. And
how can you be okay, I don't want to say how can you be friends with something that's religious, but how did you feel about them telling you, oh, you're going to burn in hell, by the way, but we're such great friends?
Oh, I didn't appreciate it, and neither did my parents, actually. There was some confrontation between their parents and my parents.
Wow, they had the whole please don't try to convert my child conversation?
I don't think they said please.
I like your parents already.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
Scientist-y. What kind of teacher is your mom? What does she teach?
She's a grade one teacher, early literacy coordinator for the whole jurisdiction.
Okay, so it's not like her job is necessarily makes her godless, but
no.
What is she doing in Alberta? I mean, why live here if you don't believe in religion? Why would you live in a small buttfuck nowhere town in Alberta of all places?
I don't know. Why does anybody end up anywhere?
I guess that's actually a pretty good question. I don't even know. I was born in Quebec. I never really went very far. Actually, it's funny because this trip to Calgary, this is literally the furthest that I've traveled in my life. Can you believe that? 30 years old I'm going to be in, like, what, 2 days? And I can't even go further than Calgary. It's sad. I am the least traveled man in the world.
I don't know. There's a lot of people around here that have been to, like, B.C., Saskatchewan, and maybe, like...
Well, at least they get to see the mountains. Man, it is fucking boring where I'm from. Now, you're a student of law, is that correct?
Well, law and society. I'll
law and society.
Applying for law school soon.
What does law and society exactly mean? What is this combination here?
Well, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's the way our law functions in our society. And it's a more broad look. It's not so much case law and, you know, rigorous things like that. It's more of a, I don't want to call it a survey, but it's the broad spectrum.
Now, are you trying to get people to hate you? Atheist in Alberta, lawyer, Come on now, dude. You're gonna get stoned to death in this fucking province.
I'm not that worried about it. The second I'm done my undergrad, I'm heading out west.
You're headed to Vancouver. You're headed to Hippie Central, man.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Fucking hippie.
I gotta head west. I can't take another winter.
Plus, I don't even think you're a conservative around here. You sound almost like a communist.
I am, actually. A bit of a communist.
You heard this first here, folks. If ever he gets in trouble, it's because on The Good Atheist, he admitted that he was a communist.
I am a pinko commie bastard.
He believes in socialism, everybody. That's evil. And you have to understand, we have a lot of American listeners, and just, they always make fun of my pinko ways. They're like, oh, you're some kind of socialist, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, I can't help myself. You know, that's how it is in Quebec. Everybody's a fucking socialist over there.
I suppose. Well, I mean, I guess the biggest thing for me is growing up in Alberta around the age of 10 and 12, I mentally surpassed, well, not to brag or anything, but I mentally
That is a brag.
I mentally surpassed a lot of my friends and parents, and I realized that I'm not like them at all. At all. I don't like organized sports. I don't like...
He doesn't like Go Team Go.
I don't like wearing Wranglers and chewing tobacco and driving a big truck.
You know, I still feel that to some degree that is the Calgary image. You know? Chewing tobacco in your gigantic truck with a jersey of Go Team Go.
Oh, that's exactly what it is.
I haven't... You know, it's funny. While I've been in Calgary here, I've been a bit sheltered from that because Carissa lives in a really, really posh neighborhood. So I'm in the poshiest place in Alberta, so I don't really get to see that. The only thing that I do see is there's a disproportionate amount of trucks for some reason, but I have to assume that's because people like to carry dirt or I don't know what.
People in Calgary that live in the city have no reason to buy a truck.
I know.
You don't have anything to haul. Why do they do it?
It's the same reason why people have SUVs in the city. I think that if you were... Think about a car as a gigantic tank, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you want your tank to be massive, or do you want your tank to be a smart car that if you smash into someone, you're going to be in pieces? I mean, it's not necessarily unwise. It's just that it does appear kind of douchey when you have a truck and you don't really use that truck. But for the most part, I'm like, I view cars as personal tanks. And if you were to have a personal tank and the ability to afford gasoline, then maybe you want to have the bigger tank. Just a thought. I don't know. I don't like cars. But I do recognize their kind of, you know, appeal, if I can say it like that.
There's definitely a hillbilly mentality that really...
That permeates?
Oh.
Now, you were telling me before that you were having a debate in one of your classes about whether or not intelligent design should be taught in schools. Why does this debate even exist? Why are you talking about this in school? It seems fucking ridiculous.
Well, first off, we need to make the distinction. Public schools. Because, well,
I guess in private schools, no really debate. They're like, well, they can do whatever the fuck they want, right?
Yeah, and they should have the right to teach what they want.
I like the way you said that. You know, you barely sound convinced. You're like, well, they should have the right.
They're still pumping those little kids' heads full of bullshit, but they can, because their parents say it's okay. It's a different thing to go to a public school and subject a variety of different ethnicities and religious backgrounds to one.
I feel kind of conflicted sometimes because, you know, I'm a bit of a totalitarian. I really do hate the idea that these private schools can teach absolute nonsense. I mean, creationism or intelligent design, however the fuck you want to address it, it's nonsense. It's not even a science. I mean, I've mentioned this a few times, the trial in Dover, Pennsylvania, where they in 2005, where they talked about whether or not intelligent design was a science, and overwhelmingly everybody recognized that this was just a religious idea masquerading as a science. Everyone knows this, but for some weird reason, because they use the word science in it, kind of like Scientology likes to use that word, everyone's like, well, you know, it kind of makes sense. Life is so complex. Maybe there is an intelligent designer, blah, 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 blah. And plus, the other end of the spectrum is as soon as they start teaching it in private schools, I feel like to some degree it opens up that window so that they start talking about it in public schools, or at least that there's a debate saying, like, well, should we talk about this too? They seem to be talking about it a lot in these schools. It irritates me. I'm wondering exactly why, in the debate that you were having, there must have been some people who were on the yes side, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, what was their strongest argument for yes?
Well, they didn't really have a strongest argument, but the one.
Well, come on, it has to be at least
the one thing they did say is, well, teach the controversy. Little kids are going to be able to distinguish between fact and fiction. Which is a lie, because little kids will believe anything.
They believe in Santa Claus, for
yeah,
God's sake.
Yeah, exactly. And they'll believe anything an adult or a person in authority will tell them. And a teacher is a person of authority. Little kids look up to their teachers.
Well, I mean, my whole thing about teach the controversy is teach the controversy to whom exactly? Like, do you teach controversy about gravity? Do you teach controversy about, you know, the heliocentric view of the universe? I mean, obviously I'm preaching to the choir here when I'm talking to people who are listening to the show saying, well, teaching the controversy is ridiculous. But I really don't even understand how someone who does want the, intelligent design taught can really justify to themselves the fact that, well, kids are basically smart and they need to be aware of the quote-unquote debate and they need to make up their own minds. And you're like, well, then what is the purpose of having a school exactly? Why don't you just send them home with a couple books and say, well, you're basically smart, kid. Come back in a couple years. We'll make you do a few tests. And then I will give you a diploma and you're off, because evidently you are so smart that you can discern between between good science like evolution and non-science like intelligent design. This is not a fucking, a controversy. I mean, if they really want to be honest about the controversy, exactly what are they going to present first? Are they going to say, well, a couple of uneducated religious scientists don't believe in evolution because they find it particularly distressing to their religious beliefs? Is this what the controversy is? Like, how exactly, how does that mesh? How does that make any sense?
It doesn't make sense, but it's, well, I don't know. It's really frustrating, and it won't go away, but hopefully in 30 years we can look back on it and, you know, everybody will be like, foreheads.
Well, I don't even know how we can just say that. I mean, creationism has been around for fucking ever.
A long time. And
I feel like to some degree there's this hubris of thinking, oh, well, we teach evolution and that's all we're going to teach. I don't actually remember learning evolution in my school.
Really?
I mean, there was talk of evolution, but I mean, in school, do you remember being taught about how the process works?
Mm-hmm.
You really do? I mean, I'm telling you, maybe it's just because my memory is absolutely terrible, which it is. But, you know, I remember I had some basic questions that were always unanswered. Like, I asked the stupid question when I was a kid, if we descended from apes, why are there still apes? Yeah, everybody remembers that fucking...
They always bring that up. And it's such a simple answer. Just the fact that...
Well, the answer is this. You are an ape.
Not only that, but we didn't evolve from chimps. We just have a common ancestor like 200,000 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. I think that the problem was, at least in my school, that there really wasn't a lot of people that were educated. I mean, even the teachers in evolution. And even in university levels, my sister, she's an engineer. And she had to study a lot of science. But she knows almost practically nothing of evolution. Now, it doesn't mean that she's a creationist. She obviously believes that evolution is true. But when we're talking about the details of evolution, you know, sort of how it functions, what its implications are, you know, like how changes are gradual, how natural selection is the mechanism that evolution works through, all of these things were unfamiliar to her, because even though you can study science, you can study physics, chemistry, and everything else like that, for the most part, I think the problem is, and I've mentioned this a few times, that evolution is something that's sometimes a little bit difficult to test. You know, it's easier if you have a math exam. It's easier if you have, like, a chemistry exam. But it can be difficult to have an evolution exam, because what exactly are you supposed to test for? It's so remarkably simple that I think that there's this problem with teaching it, because you're like, well, you know, it took a day. We sat down, the kids were like, you evolved from a more, you know, basic life forms through the pressures of natural selection, your environment, so on and so forth, and here you are. Any questions? You will be quizzed tomorrow on this,
yeah.
On a pamphlet-sized quiz.
So regurgitate it. I think the biggest problem with observing evolution is just kind of the nature of the minuscule changes that take place over thousands of years. No human can really observe it. So that's why, I mean, among unicellular organisms, it's a lot easier. So you talk about germ theory, you talk about, you know,
yeah, well, we see, like, the AIDS virus, or we see staph infections. And
yeah, building up immunities to antibiotics. But, I mean, it's really hard to convince someone, especially someone that doesn't want to believe, really does not want to have their mind changed of, you know, look, this is just how it is. Well, they can deny it all they want.
I think it's funny that you hear a lot of debate within... you know, the creationists or intelligent designer or whatever the fuck they want to call themselves, where they make a distinction between micro and macro evolution. They're like, well, you know, we can see small changes, but it doesn't necessarily mean that this will lead to a new species and so on and so forth. And it's a lot of just wordplay. I think that a lot of people don't really understand that these types of terms, micro and macro evolution, are just, they're terms that we use, but they're not separate. I mean, microevolution over a long period of time is
macroevolution.
It's the same mechanism, is this, that we view anything like a macroscopically as something that, you know, where the changes happen and we can see them, you know, where a bird has a differently shaped beak or a wingspan, or you know, they have a different color. And sometimes it's funny too, because speciation isn't something that you can just you know, tell with your eyeballs. You could look at two birds and they look almost exactly the same, but they cannot reproduce and have fertile offspring. And meanwhile, you'll see a Chihuahua and a Great fucking Dane, and they look like a different species, don't they? You're like, how can these two breed?
Yeah.
How can a dog come out of the Chihuahua if the Great Dane has sex with it? Is it going to kill it? Well, it might. I don't know.
I think once we start mapping the genotypes of animals more efficiently, then we'll have that concrete evidence that just...
But the evidence is here. I mean,
I know, but you need to...
Didn't we already map the horse, the dog, the mouse? How many more things do we got to map?
Well, they're going to keep coming up with, oh, yeah, well, that's just one species. Maybe that's through domestication. God.
Yeah.
But
God was there to create the dog, don't you know? I'm like, well, thank you, I guess, for the dog. Seems like I should be thanking you. Maybe. I don't know.
It's just sad. I've almost got to the point where I just want to give up. I'm not going to give up, but it's just so damn hard. It's disheartening.
I suppose you said before because you called me down to the university because you wanted to give me a little interview, which will be cool because apparently in a couple weeks when you guys are finished editing it, I might have something that I can throw up on the site. So you guys will get to see my worthless opinion on video rather than just on audio. So that's something that you should all look forward to. And apparently it's like a super awesome camera, and you say your editor guy has the man skills?
Yeah, he's a film major.
And excited.
It's his bag. Yeah.
I hope he can make me look good, because, you know, sometimes I fumble. The worst fumble I made was when I confused Moses with Noah, because, you know, they're both bearded patriarchs, and whatever, every time I think of Noah, I just see Moses with his, you know, crazy beard and flowing, drapey cloak shit thing that they always wear in those stories. I'm thinking, well, I can't tell the difference between these two motherfuckers.
Well, that's exactly it, stories. I mean, you confused one mythological character for another.
I feel bad. It's like I confuse Achilles with Hercules, you know? It's one of those mistakes where you feel silly just saying it, and you're like, fuck, can you edit that out? Well, hopefully they can.
But, I'm sure he will.
But if they do... You heard it here first. I admitted my mistake.
Hey, you're human, too.
Well, you know, it's difficult when you make mistakes and there's so many people that actually listen to it. That can be a little bit hard on your ego. I try to make it, let it not bother me. But once in a while, you always get an email saying, like, dude, your mistake made me cringe. Apparently, some of my most glaring mistakes make people cringe while they're in their cars. I hope they don't, you know, sort of fall off the road. Because they're like, no, Jacob, no! Why didn't you know? Why did you say this word wrong? Or why did you mispronounce this? Oh, I hate you so much. Now, before we, the next topic I'd like to cover, actually, is just, I suppose it's kind of a, I want a bit of a more of a personal view of what you think atheism is headed towards in the future, because you're how old are you exactly? You're
I'm 20 and a half.
Love it. Whenever you're super young, you always count the halves.
Yeah.
And when you get closer to 30, you don't count the halves. I'm like, I'm still 29 despite the fact that in 2 days I'm going to be 30. So I'm not 29 and 11 months and 28 days. I'm clinging to that 29. I don't like that 3-0 number. But, I mean, obviously, I hate saying you're the future, but you're part of that sort of younger generation that has a lot less religiosity than the preceding generation. I don't know if you remember, I put up a post a couple of days ago that talking about how young people are a lot less religious than their parents, and the numbers are significant. So rather than about 10 to 12% of people being atheists that are above 30,
isn't it?
It's basically up to 25%.
Well, that's great.
And you have to wonder, even the people that are religious that are your age, do you find that there's a certain segment of them that are religious, but that aren't really good Christians or aren't really proselytizers, or is it the other way? Are they proselytizing more when they're young? How would you gauge it?
I would say it's kind of. It's tough to say because I've encountered so much of both extremes. You have, actually, it's mostly the Catholic ones that really try to force it down your throat.
Well, the Catholics or the Mormons, I guess.
Yeah, but and then there's a lot of people that just don't think about it like we do. They just go about their life and they keep it in the back of their head.
Well, they're kind of like non-theists, right? The people that if you were to ask them, is there God or is none?
They would give you some kind of mush-mouth answer, like, oh, I believe there's a higher power of sorts, and we're part of a...
Yeah, it's almost like a New Age thing.
Yeah,
right? You have to wonder how these people are actually going to transmit their religiosity to their kids. So if imagine you have kids in, like, 10 years, and you were sort of, like, of this non-theistic or really poor theism, you have to wonder, what are the numbers going to be like in 20 years from now? Like, is it going to be like 50%? Is this a trend, or are we going to see maybe like a kind of like a complete reversal where people all of a sudden they freak out maybe because they don't have any religion? Or there are two periods in a person's life when they're most likely to convert to a religion. Early in their adult life, like usually when they go to college or university and they have higher education, or if they're really old, because, I mean, as we know, death is fucking scary, and religion offers a bit of a, what's I'm looking for? A lot of comfort regarding your fear of death.
Yeah, it's a security blanket.
But, I mean, if you convert when you're in your 60s, you're not going to be converting a lot of other people because you're old and nobody likes to listen to old people.
It's the ones that you push it into their little soft heads at 5 years old, right?
Right, exactly.
They're the ones that grow up indoctrinated and do the spreading, but... apart from some kind of nuclear holocaust or massive disaster that just turns the world on its ear, I don't think we will see a regression. And
you don't think we're going to go back to religiosity? You think we're growing out of it?
I really hope so. I think.
Yeah, but hope and what's really happening, these are two different things, my friend. We can hope for things, but I don't think that we should let hope tell us about the world.
No, definitely not. But I think all these people that you're talking about, the just kind of laissez-faire, whatever, I don't really think about existence, but oh yeah, there's probably a God, higher power, whatever. I think they're apathetic among themselves, so I can't see them being all gung-ho about teaching their kids these things.
That's my whole... that's what I'm really curious about, like the next generation of kids and how they grow up. I'm really, really curious about that because there is a chance that perhaps it's not so much even, the indoctrination of parents, but it could be just the way that institutions are built. Like you mentioned to yourself, you were all right with private schools teaching, you know, creationism and all this other nonsense. And who knows, maybe in the future there'll be lots more private schools and old people that are really religious, panicky that the young generation isn't learning, so that, you know, maybe they'll try to push this. I mean, don't you think that maybe that's one of the reasons why all this stuff keeps appearing? I didn't have this problem when I was in school. Nobody was talking about putting intelligent design in schools. Nobody was talking about any controversy or any of that bullshit. We were mostly kind of totally
oblivious to the whole
Yeah,
thing.
Exactly, oblivious to it, but maybe I think it is a reactionary thing from that generation. They're as far as they see it, I think the stakes are so high that maybe they are willing to do some really crazy shit to try to save their religion from falling into obscurity. So maybe what our job is to kind of make people aware of that, or you know, like, hopefully by then we'll all be a little bit wiser. But why should we? Are we wiser now than we were before?
Well, we definitely know more about the world.
Yeah, but I agree with what Christopher Hitchens says. We know more. We know less and less about more and more.
Yeah.
And maybe the same could be said for religion.
Maybe, because every time you learn something new, it just opens up
all new questions.
All new questions. But the thing is, old fucks vote.
They really do vote, don't they?
They have nothing to do. They wake up, they watch TV.
They wake up at like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Eat some marmalade, watch The Price is Right, and then they...
Do people still watch Price is Right?
I don't know. Drew Carey killed that shit.
I think it's sad, though. I mean, you have to wonder what's going to happen if we really let... you know, the older generation keep deciding things for us, because I really feel that that's what's happening. You know, as the average age keeps going up, as they're just better at keeping old people alive, I feel to some degree like there isn't a bit the switch isn't being turned on. Like, younger people are not making decisions, and I think that we've divorced ourselves from making these decisions. We don't vote, we don't participate in politics, or if we do, it's a very small segment of the youth population, and I don't know what to do about that, because at the same time you could say, oh, we all need to unite and go vote, but the honest truth is that no, it's not happening. I mean, you talk about herding cats with atheism. It's even worse when it comes to voting.
Oh, definitely.
And I mean, I have to think that to some degree it might have something to do with the fact that maybe, just maybe, young people really aren't interested in inheriting the system of their parents or grandparents.
They definitely aren't. I think there's so much corruption and it's the bureaucratic, massive military-industrial complex that just, it's rooted itself so deep into everything that there's no way to change it until we just wait for this generation of old white guys to die and then just...
They will never die, don't you see? I mean, what happens tomorrow if all of a sudden we discover... Well,
stem cell research or T-cell therapy.
Yeah, or effectively almost a cure for aging, where now a generation won't pass on and the values remain almost constant. I mean, that... I think that to some degree that's my greatest fear, and also simultaneously my greatest hope.
Yeah, well...
Because I don't want to die.
Me neither, but we're going to have to euthanize some old folks if we ever want to change.
You heard it from here again. Brock Roberts, communist, old people euthanizer. Well, you know what? Here's the thing, though. I mean, even though you develop, say, ostensibly a cure for old age, it doesn't mean that people don't die. I mean, you'll die in a car accident, you'll die in, you know, falling off a building or falling down the stairs. I mean... People will die. Eventually, over time, everybody dies, unless you're in some kind of, like, I don't know, invincible robot body, which I do plan on getting.
Oh, you bet.
But, I mean, again, the question is, I mean, I don't know if there's an answer for this, but the question is, how do we galvanize young people? How do we get them to make the changes that are necessary? Why is it so hard? I mean, you said it yourself, even in your school, they have, like, student council fucking, you know, elections, and what percentage of people do you think care about that shit? Or how many of people are jaded regarding, you know, the effectiveness of that system?
Well, the problem is they've created a system where it's totally bureaucratic. Everybody that does get a job is a figurehead. Tons of people run. because you get paid like $30,000 for a school year, and that's you have no power to do nothing.
$30,000. I wish I was making that much money.
And here's the thing. It's not, oh, yeah, $30,000 from the Alberta government. It's $30,000 coming from us.
From your student tuitions.
Yeah.
And how much is your tuition per year?
Oh, man. It keeps going up.
Well, what is it right now? Like, how
right
much does it
now,
cost per, say per year, or just a rough estimate. It doesn't have to be exact.
Like $7,000?
$7,000 per year? Yeah. You know what? It's funny, eh? Lots of people that are listening to the States would be like, that's so inexpensive. You have to understand, some of these people pay like $20,000 a year, $30,000 a year for school. So $7,000 to them may not seem like a lot.
No, but why can they just arbitrarily up the price without also upping the quality of instruction and the facility?
Well, I suppose when you have a whole bunch of administrators that are being paid $30,000 a year, well,
those are just student administrators. Our president, Harvey Weingarten, gave himself a $5 million severance package, like retirement.
That deal. Is a hell of a retirement. This is a dean of some kind?
Yeah, the president
wow.
of the university.
$5 million?
$5 million.
For doing what exactly?
Running the university into the ground.
I think that, I guess he is kind of a neocon. That's exactly their...
It's Goldman Sachs.
That's their M.O., saying, well, I'm going to run this company or organization to the ground, and as a consequence, I'm going to give myself a raise because I did such a good job at destroying this institution.
Oh, man.
Well, you know, I think to some degree in the future, I mean, I don't know when, but... Everything is going to basically come to a head because the baby boomer generation is getting older, and you know the amount of money available keeps dwindling because we're at a very unique time in human history where there are going to be far more old people than there are young people, and you have to kind of wonder what that's going to mean for us because think about the revolution in Iran where there are more young people than old people, but the old generation is essentially dictating everything for them.
Right.
So they kind of have the population wise the opposite problem, but still it's the same phenomenon where we're not able to kind of take control of what's going on. We have zero say. And for the most part, I think that everybody is just so jaded into thinking, well, nothing I do or nothing I say can make a difference, so why the fuck should I bother? And I think that, you know what, maybe for us, the real solution is to kind of take more of a grassroots level. I mean, I know that lots of young people, they love to protest and shit like that. And you know what, you can protest to your heart's content, but at the end of the day, honestly, I don't think that that makes much of a fucking difference. Protests are easy to ignore. I think for us, you know, in terms of grassroots, the thing that we have to do is get more involved into trying to organize and create policy. Maybe that policy doesn't get adopted now, but I think that we need to be the ones that start mapping out our future tomorrow. I don't know why we're not doing it. Maybe we're sitting on our fucking asses always on Twitter and maybe even on thegoodatheist.net listening to shit and not getting fucking involved. But it scares me. It really scares me because I do not trust the older generation. They keep on trying to fucking shove religion down our throat and, you know, creationism down our throat, all this other fucking bullshit. They don't want to make any changes to our environmental policy. They don't want to stop our use of, you know, of gasoline and all these other hydrocarbons. And it's and we don't get a say into what the future is going to be like. And I think that that is a gigantic mistake that we're going to severely regret.
I think the biggest problem is just that their generation has so much invested in the way things are, and they're getting their pockets lined by these petroleum companies and stuff like that, that they don't have incentive to change. Also, when something like 50% of the American population honestly believes there's end days is going to happen and Jesus is going to return and call everybody up to heaven, you have no incentive.
No, it makes you wonder.
The world with respect.
It makes you wonder exactly what your foreign or environmental policy is going to be when the answer is Jesus is coming any day now.
Oh my God!
It's almost like waiting for Godot. He's not showing up, everybody. I mean, it's been 2,000 years. The guy is a no-show, a fucking no-show. Give it up, man. Give it up. There's only going to be one person that's going to make that difference. It's going to be you, bitch. going to be you. All right, you know what? Let's wrap it up. I'd like to thank my guest, Brock Roberts, for coming on.
Thank you.
And we're going to catch everybody next week for the regular show. I'd like to remind all of you that if you enjoy what we do, that you consider becoming a patron. It costs $20 a year, and you get access to all the backlog of bonus shows. There are 43 bonus shows now that you can go listen to.
It is well worth it.
I think that's pretty cheap. And also, I'd like to remind everybody that this Sunday, February 28th, I'm having a birthday party at the Soda here in Calgary, Alberta. So if you are in town, please come and say hi. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have a big party. There's going to be like video games, and there's going to be. You can also come dressed as a superhero if you want. You don't have to, but you can. If you have any questions about it, you can email me jacobforte@gmail.com. And I really hope to see you guys there because I love hooking up with the fans of the site. You guys are awesome. All right, with that, my name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm Brock Roberts.
Have a good Atheist Day, everybody.